Hello and welcome to another episode of Gut Heroes. I'm your host, Tommy Orme, and today I'm going to look at something that I find absolutely fascinating. And we're going to look at the immune system, the gut, and in particular the gut lining, and the world within your body known as the microbiome. Now, there is more than one microbiome, and we're going to go into that in a moment. The key thing is we're going to talk about the different roles and the interplay between all of these and why it's so important to really be careful about what we put in our body. So at the moment on the Gut Heroes website, the kind of tagline at the top that I've put is 70% of your immune system is in your gut. What you put in your body matters. And I feel really, really passionate about this because it's only really in the last 20 years or so that we've become hyper aware in microbiology about how significant a role the gut and the microbiome play on our overall health. So I'll start with an absolutely crazy stat, and that is that 50% of the cells in your body are alien. They're non-human cells. And at the moment, that's the best guesstimate that scientists have. At one point, they thought it was as high as 90%. But basically, you have your human cells, and then you have all these incredible microbiota which live within you as a human, in your body, on your body, literally everywhere there is life. And that consists of lots of tiny microorganisms, so bacteria, viruses, fungi, archaea, eukaryotes, and they are known collectively as microbiota, and they've evolved with us since our existence on the planet. They've been there a lot longer, and for some of these species we live symbiotically, so they kind of help us, but for the most part they just exist. And obviously there's negative ones which can cause you infections and problems and sickness, but then there's others that help us process foods and things we encounter in the environment, and they convert them into energy. So they're really, really important. We could not survive without them. If you didn't have a microbiome, in particular a gut microbiome, you would die. You would not be able to exist out in the world. So there's kind of often this feeling that anything that's bacteria or anything that isn't human that is some sort of germ and it needs to be got rid of and cleaned and all that kind of stuff. Actually, no, a lot of this stuff is absolutely essential to life. The key thing when we're looking at how to stay healthy and fit and full of energy and stave off illnesses and feel great is about figuring out how to maintain the best balance and how to have less of the things that cause you problems and promote the things that don't. And really, that's the central tenet of what I'm trying to create with Gut Heroes. So let's go through a few different steps, because there's quite a lot of figures I'm throwing about here and it can be overwhelming and new terms and it probably sounds like jargon. But going back to that original stat, so 50% of your body is made up of microbiota. And that's not in terms of size or weight, that's literally in terms of the number of cells. So you have tens of trillions of these microbiota, and they have all of these cells. And then you have human cells as well. And obviously cells that make up things like bones, that kind of thing, are larger and heavier. So when we talk about the composition, we're literally talking about the numbers here. But that doesn't mean that they should be underestimated, because they all have different genetic makeups, all of these microbiota, and they can have really outsized effects. The size of these critters doesn't mean a thing. They are extremely powerful in conjunction with our health. So where do they live? And this is kind of one of those crazy light bulb moments when you piece the bits together, because there are several microbiomes within the body. You've got, for example, the ocular microbiome. So this is the kind of world of microbiota that lives in your eye and interact in your eye. And then you've got a skin microbiome. So those are the microbiota that live on your skin. And that could be fungi, it can be bacteria, it can be all sorts of things. And some of them help us, some of them irritate us, and so on and so forth. And all around the body, you have these different microbiomes. But the key one is the gut microbiome, because that is where, and again, this is an estimate because we're dealing with trillions of different microorganisms here, but somewhere between 90 and 95% of the microbiota in your body lives in your gut. So that's huge. So the bit that makes you, or constitutes half of you as a human being, lives inside your gut. And there's an obvious reason for that, and that's because so much of what they can thrive off and live off is coming in through food and water and everything else, and that's coming directly in the gut. So it's a really great habitat for the vast majority of these microbiota. And the next piece of the puzzle, and the thing that makes this so relevant to modern life, and in particular to anyone who's feeling unhealthy or is having poor health outcomes or who has an autoimmune disorder, anything where their body is out of sync and not feeling as it should, and that is that 70% of our immune system resides in our gut. So the immune system, as I'm sure you're aware, it's our body's defense mechanism. It defends us against pathogens, so it's defending us against harmful bacteria, sickness, all of that kind of stuff. It acts as that defense unit inside our gut. It operates elsewhere, but 70% is in our gut because it's having to manage those populations. So a big part of what our immune system does is it helps control that overall population of microbiota, and it just makes sure it doesn't get out of whack, because for us to survive and be alive and do what we have evolved to do, there needs to be a balance in the populations. If you've got too much of a negative one, a negative bacteria, for example, or a fungi, then you're going to have problems. Then you start going to see someone getting really sick or infected or tired. And so a big role of the immune system is to really police that population in the gut. So hopefully already this is kind of giving you an idea of how important the things we put in our body really are, because if the vast majority of the microbiota in your body lives in your gut, and if the vast majority of your immune system is operating inside your gut, if there are problems with the gut itself or there are problems with the microbial population, then you're going to have all sorts of problems, and this has this kind of snowball effect of issues. And typically in medicine, in years gone past and still to an extent today, what we do is we treat the symptoms. So, you know, someone's experiencing pain, or they're having trouble sleeping or staying awake or whatever it is, we develop and we prescribe a pill or an injection which will stimulate the body in the short term, and it will give you that kind of solution that feels like something's working. So, you know, you might take, for example, an ibuprofen or some sort of pain relief tablet or something that will settle your tummy, and it feels like, oh great, that's working. And it is working for a time, and it can be essential for a time, you know, in the absence of other protocols, but it's not tackling the root cause. A lot of the time, for a lot of people, the issues are revolving around the gut, what's going in the gut, what's happening with the immune system. And so that's why it's so important to be aware of this stuff. So the next piece of this puzzle is the gut lining. So by gut lining, I'm talking about the protective barrier that exists between your gut and the contents of your gut specifically and the rest of your body. Now, this gut barrier is really, really thin and vulnerable. In some places, it's only one cell thick. So if there's a breach in the gut barrier, then there can be real, real problems. And it's not just supposed to be some sort of unbreakable fortress. It has these tight junctions, and these regulate what passes through into the bloodstream and what doesn't. So you want, obviously, the positive nutrients to pass through, because that's essential for us to survive and live and thrive. But you also want to keep the harmful stuff out. So the problem is, when you have issues with that gut lining where it's too easy to breach, and when the immune system is overworked or it's getting confused or it's overwhelmed, you're going to get all sorts of problems and all sorts of disruption. And so all this leads us to something called intestinal permeability, sometimes known as leaky gut. This is something we now believe is very common in people with autoimmune disease in particular. I think it's probably often undiagnosed in a lot of people as well. And what it means is kind of what I just talked about, where the gut lining becomes damaged, and this allows bacteria and toxins and even undigested food particles to literally leak into the bloodstream. And so what you have happening there is a massive inflammation trigger, and you get changes to the gut composition, and then you can have something known as dysbiosis. So dysbiosis is a big one, and it's something I'm going to talk about probably quite a lot over coming podcasts and articles. And basically that just means you've got an imbalance in your gut microbiota. So that population of microbiota, bacteria, fungi, all the other microorganisms. That population in your gut, some of which can be helpful and some not, that's getting in balance. So you've got too much of one, too little of the other, more of the bad, less of the good. And when this happens, that can contribute to leaky gut. So it promotes inflammation, it can damage the gut lining directly as well. And obviously this can wreak havoc. So when we see these substances leaking, that's when we can see things like chronic inflammation. Typically that's been linked to a whole heap of health conditions, and health conditions which have absolutely exploded in the modern age. And these include things like autoimmune diseases, so Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis like I have, celiac disease. I've just mentioned a few there, but dozens and dozens of different disorders, irritable bowel syndrome. And increasingly we're finding it's not just these diseases we're familiar with, it's also things like potentially even mental health issues as well. So it's really, really important stuff. And that's why diet is such an important factor, because obviously what you put in your body, what you eat and what you drink massively influences that composition of what's in your gut. So the different populations of microbiota are going to change according to what you eat. So for example, if you're having only one type of food, one type of input, that's going to massively benefit certain bacteria, certain microbes over others. And then you're going to get an imbalance. And if it's the kind of foods that spark problems in your body and start damaging the gut lining and start overworking the immune system, then you're going to get massive inflammation, chronic pain, all sorts of health issues. And so that's why we really, really need to look at what the big food producers are giving us and just take stock of what we're putting in our bodies and just seeing what works best for us. So what's good and what's bad is going to be different for everyone, to be honest. There are some general markers, and for most healthy people, that's things like foods that are high in fiber. And for almost everybody, it's things like prebiotics and probiotics, which is something we'll cover in a future episode. And these are things that can support what we believe to be currently some of the most beneficial gut bacteria. On the negative side, and perhaps the most easy to identify and pinpoint and hopefully eliminate from your diet, are things like ultra processed foods. So this is really anything that comes in a packet and says it has, you know, more than 3 or 4 ingredients in it. Specifically anything that you don't recognize. So if it's got something like dextrose in it or maltodextrin or any of these ingredients, which, and I quite like this term, I've stolen it from someone else, but anything that your great grandmother wouldn't recognize, it's probably going to be an ultra processed food. These are ingredients that have been developed in labs. We don't know the long-term effects, but we are starting to see the ultra processed foods, without a shadow of a doubt, are causing huge amounts of health issues. There's a direct correlation. And often these ingredients are high in sugar and trans fats and additives and also all of these unknowns. And these are directly damaging the gut. So they're messing the gut permeability. They're causing leaky gut. So if there's one thing you do, it would be just to completely cut ultra processed foods out of your diet. The evidence is just piling in. It's so overwhelming how bad they are for us. And, you know, I used to eat ultra processed foods every single day, multiple times a day, and it accelerated my autoimmune disease. And when I was on that diet, I felt so rough. I was so exhausted. Inflammation was through the roof. I was in pain all the time. The ankylosing spondylitis, which is what I have, was just rapidly accelerating. And one of the biggest parts for me in now managing my own condition, almost completely through diet, also for exercise, but mainly through diet, one of the absolute key points was just getting rid of UPFs. And honestly, I did miss some of those foods for a bit. I don't miss them at all anymore. And it's so easy to spot them if you're in the supermarket, if it's a colourful label, or if it's got several ingredients on the back, it's going to be UPF. So at the very least, if you can cut down on, but ideally completely cut out them, you're going to have a massive boost in health outcomes. And then the next thing I wanted to mention was NSAIDs, so non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. These are drugs like ibuprofen, so basically painkillers, which can cause blood thinning, that kind of thing. They can be really effective and they can be important sometimes as a short-term pain management. So I'll give you an example. If you are experiencing a lot of inflammation in a region and the inflammation is not being dealt with in some way, that can lead to worse health outcomes. But at the same time, taking these drugs like ibuprofen are really damaging to the gut. They cause massive irritation and inflammation to the gut lining. And the way I kind of visualize it is it's a bit like throwing mini grenades at the gut lining. So you will tackle that inflammation in the short term, and that's great. But what you're doing long term is eroding away that gut lining. So if you can find other ways of reducing inflammation, so that could be things I've talked about before, like heat exposure, like sauna, and like cold exposure, but also changing the kind of foods in your diet, then that is going to be such a massive boost. You're going to tackle two things at once. You're going to start rebuilding your gut lining, making it healthier, and you're going to readjust the population in your gut so that you've got more of the good microbiota and less of the bad. So we've got a few more things to get through, things to avoid. So we've tackled non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, so things like ibuprofen. We've talked about UPFs. The next one, which I'm not very good at avoiding, is alcohol. So a little bit of alcohol is fine, right? But if you drink to excess a lot of the time, that causes a lot of inflammation. It also damages the gut lining. So this is another one just to keep tabs on. You know, it's a lot of fun having the odd drink, but also if you overdo it, that's going to cause you long-term health outcomes and quite directly in the short term as well. So just try and be a bit sensible with that one. And then we have stress, which is arguably one of the most under-talked about, under-targeted elements of health in the modern age. We only ever seem to talk about it in terms of mental health. Like, we all know if you're feeling chronically stressed, then it can make you feel miserable. You know, you can feel anxious or depressed, any of those things. And we have a direct understanding of that. But what we don't talk about is how stress itself, particularly chronic stress. And so by chronic stress, I'm talking about the stress where you're worrying about things in the future that might never happen, or worrying about things in the present that you can't quite tackle or solve. So maybe you're doing a job where you feel, you know, a lack of meaning, or you've got a boss who's asking for things that just make you feel anxious. And there's just this constant stream of stuff that you have to work through. And you're worrying about the bills you have to pay. All of this kind of stuff is this chronic stress that runs through your mind, the rumination, the anxiety, all of this over and over again, actually physically impacts your health. So it actually directly impacts your gut lining. And so as a result, this also affects the gut microbiome. So it's so important to try and get on top of stress levels. And I know that's easier said than done, because, you know, we can't always pick the job we're doing. We can't pick what's happening in our lives in a given moment. I think one of the key things to identify with stress is that when we talk about stress, it's not the kind of immediate important stresses that come in our life. So, you know, maybe stress involved with something that's happening with your child, or something you encounter in the day to day. You know, maybe you're faced with quite a scary situation in your day to day life and you have to deal with it and tackle it. Or maybe you're encountering a physical stress. Those kind of stresses where we have to problem solve and we have to deal with it, and it's typically done in the moment, those ones are actually quite healthy for us. Those are fine. That's the human body, the human brain is evolved to deal with that. It's the chronic stress, typically when we're dealing with more abstract ideas and issues that never quite go away, and they're just constantly there, like this horrible background erosion. That's what we need to be really careful of. So if you can do any work on that in terms of finding ways of giving yourself some space, you know, whether that's going for a walk in nature or talking to someone or spending more time around loved ones and just putting the other stuff into perspective as best you can. I know it's so hard to sort of deal with things like stress, but it is one of the single biggest things that will affect your health outcomes. And for people with adverse health conditions, people with things like autoimmune disease, stress alone can trigger an episode. So it really is that important. You know, myself and many people I know with autoimmune disease, they can do everything by the book in terms of their diet and exercise, but then this big stress comes along, this feeling of lack of control and anxiety and all of that, and that can just trigger a massive flare. And this is physical debilitation, and it's horrendous. So do what you can to stay on top of your stress levels. And the next one I think a lot of people will already know about, and that's antibiotics. So antibiotics are one of the most amazing modern miracles and just incredible, like probably one of the biggest lifesavers we've ever come across. But they are also natural born killers. So we put them into the gut and they will hopefully help clear an infection or help us get rid of something we don't want in there. But they also can often act a bit like napalm. You take an antibiotic and while we try and specialize as much as we can, they are going to kill a lot of healthy stuff as well. They're going to kill stuff we don't want to lose in terms of population. And it's just this blanket bombing. And this is going to cause us some more of that gut dysbiosis. So we're going to get rid of stuff we don't want, or we do want rather, and it's also going to affect the gut lining as a result. So in terms of antibiotics, obviously take them if you need them. But, you know, if it's a case where you've got something that you and your doctor feel would probably pass if you didn't take antibiotics, and if you can let your immune system deal with it naturally, then always try and take that option if it's safe to do so. So that's a really big one, antibiotics. Powerful and important, but just treat in moderation if possible. And high sugar diets, that's another big one. I'm sure everyone's aware of that, but sugar is massively inflammatory. It can sort of promote the growth of bacteria and yeast and cause all sorts of problems in the gut. So typically you're going to find high sugar in ultra processed foods. You're going to find it in soft drinks by the absolute gallon. So do what you can to avoid things that are high in sugar. Things that are safe for sugar on the whole are things like fructose. So that's sugar you can find in fruit. So if you can, eat fruit naturally. Try and avoid blended fruit, because that changes the food matrix, and what you're going to get is a massive concentration of sugar and in a way that your body can't process. So when you actually eat an apple, for example, your body is evolved to, and your microbiome is evolved to really process that in the best way possible. So that's the way to go in terms of sugar intake. And then related to that, you have artificial sweeteners, which have become really popular on the basis that, you know, too much sugar is bad for you. And that's become a sort of target market for the big food producers. But the problem is they're often producing these artificial sweeteners using ingredients that are even worse. So be really careful with these. You know, there's a lot, increasing amount of studies which are showing that these artificial sweeteners can really negatively affect your gut microbiota. And they alter the gut's microbial composition. And just in general, I would avoid artificial sweeteners. There are some other ways to sweeten things. So you can use things like honey. That's going to be much better for you. Or there's a type of monk fruit sweetener, which can be far less tough on the gut. So there are different ways of getting that sweetness into the things you're eating or into your drinks. And, you know, it's not to say that all sugar is really bad. You know, refined sugar is not great, but in small quantities, it's, you know, it's not going to kill you. But, you know, the main things to avoid are things like the popular soft drinks that, you know, we all know have several spoons worth of refined sugar in them. That is just having this massive concentration that's going into your gut. It's changing the composition of the microbes in your gut. And then it's also damaging the gut lining and causing inflammation and all of this stuff. So it's kind of a perfect storm of bad things to have. And then when we try and remove that by introducing a different spinning plate, like artificial sweeteners, which have even worse ingredients in some case, or as bad, then it just causes more problems. So when you're looking for sweetness, think of things that occur in nature naturally. Think of honey or molasses or fruit, all of those things that you might encounter in the real world. And then we have food additives in general. And I touched on this earlier on in this podcast. And so those are things like the binders and fillers and emulsifiers and preservatives and artificial colorings and all of those things. Again, basically, you're going to find those in UPFs. And we're, again, finding lots of evidence to show that this massively disturbs the gut microbiome. Again, it increases intestinal permeability. And the good news is on that, really, is the last few that I've talked about. So food additives, sweeteners, high sugar, all of that kind of stuff. Most of that is tallied with ultra processed foods. You know, that's where you're going to find most of these problems. If you're eating foods as they come in the world, so, you know, whether it's a mushroom or an apple or a floret of broccoli or, you know, any animal product that hasn't been processed or filled with rubbish, then you're going to get stuff which your body can cope with on the whole. So in a lot of ways, there's a lot of information to digest, but the solution is fairly straightforward. It's to cut out the stuff that has you know, these kind of frankenfoods that have been created in labs to taste better and be more addictive and have a longer shelf life, and all of these things which are great for food producers and big businesses and shareholders, but terrible for our health. It's just about avoiding that. And it's about focusing on putting real things that our bodies and our microbiomes have evolved with over hundreds of thousands, millions of years. So the last one in the list I wanted to talk about is ingredients that are going to be specifically problematic for you. So we're not all the same. We all have different genetics, and we have different compositions of microbiome, and we have different immune systems. And so a thing that might be beneficial to you or non-harmful to you might be absolute kryptonite for someone else. So the really obvious example, which we're now all aware of, but we weren't just a few short decades ago, was celiac disease, so gluten. And we know for these people, if they come into contact with gluten, so maybe they eat pasta or bread or something which contains gluten, they're going to start to get some really horrible symptoms, and it's going to be quite fast acting and really uncomfortable and quite debilitating in many ways. And what we discovered was that the best, and in fact really the only way you can treat someone who has celiac disease, is just to say don't eat gluten. And when they don't eat gluten, they don't get any of these problems. So it's a case of what you work well with individually, with your specific composition. And we will get there in terms of the science, in terms of people having, you know, really good DNA mapping and microbiome mapping and being able to pinpoint what the problems are. But for a lot of people, they won't know. You know, this was the case of me. It took me 19 years to get my autoimmune condition diagnosis, my ankylosing spondylitis. And so I just thought I had this mystery back pain, and I thought the pain I had in my ribs was something else, and the rashes and all of that stuff. I thought there was something completely unconnected, random thing, but it was all to do with this specific condition I have. And I found for me and a lot of other people who follow the diet I'm following that in our case, removing starch and removing dairy works brilliantly well, as far as we can tell at the moment, and also ultra processed food and sugar and anything like that. And that works great for us. Things like starch are going to be really healthy for other people, so I wouldn't recommend someone who thrives off that to start giving that up. And similarly, the person with celiac disease avoids gluten, but then you've got all these other conditions. So you've got SIBO, and that's another whole set of different foods to look at, and you've got FODMAPs, and tons of disorders are connected with certain foods triggering certain problems, creating gut dysbiosis, so altering the populations of what that particular person's genetic makeup and their immune system can cope with and what it can't. So if you put the wrong population of microbiota in a person with a certain genetic makeup and immune system, there's just going to be havoc, and they're going to feel tired and in pain and inflamed and physically debilitated and all of these things. And often it's just a case of sitting down, creating a spreadsheet and looking at what am I eating, what makes me feel worse and what makes me feel better. And if you can do that methodically, and even just do that for a few months, you can get the most amazing outcomes. And that's exactly what I did with my diet. And it's, as I've said many times, it's been absolutely life-changing. What I will do in another podcast is I will talk about how I go through this process myself. So how I set up a food diary, and I will share the spreadsheet I made with you so that you can do it yourself. You'll just be able to kind of copy and paste. And hopefully that will get you on a road to figuring out what works best for you. And I want to stress this isn't just for people with autoimmune conditions. This is for everyone. You know, a lot of these conditions have only been discovered in the last few decades. A lot of problems are going to be properly identified and labeled in the years to come. Really working on this and really understanding all the different roles microbiota and the gut and mental health and physical health play and the immune system, it's so, so important for feeling the best version of you that you can be, really. So I hope that helped. I know there was a lot of information to take in there, but the key thing is to really look at your diet, strip out any ultra processed foods, strip out the high sugar, high concentrated sugar stuff, really stay on top of your stress, and try and take it easy where you can on overuse of things like anti-inflammatory drugs, so ibuprofen, that kind of thing, and antibiotics where possible, where it's safe to do so, and, you know, be measured on the alcohol. And if you can do those things, you will see the most profound changes. I don't have any doubt on that front, that if you eliminate the bad stuff, stay on top of your stress, don't overdo it on the meds that are going to dramatically alter your microbiome, the evidence is overwhelming that you're going to feel so much better. And I'm living proof of that. A lot of the people I talk to have had life-changing effects from changing their diet, and I really hope that can be the same for you as well. So I'm going to sign off now. I'm wishing you the very best in health, and I will speak to you soon.